Welcome to the Gateway Podcast, where we get a chance to sit and talk to the outstanding professionals who serve in the 37 Training Wing. I get the privilege to host this podcast and serve as Warhawk Nation's Command Chief. So, without further delay, let's jump into it. As a reminder to all listeners, all topics discussed are unclassified, and the views expressed by our guests and hosts are not necessarily the position of the United States Air Force, the Department of Defense, or any government agency. All right. Well, welcome to today's podcast. We're super excited to have you out here today. We're going to start off with some basic stuff here. All right. So it's your first, all three of you all nodded north and south that this is your first podcast. Have you, anybody ever done any radio?
No, sir.
All right. Well, we don't have the headphones on. The folks out there can't see us, but when you put the headphones on, you start hearing your voice, it gets in your head. And I've never met anybody that loves the sound of their voice.
And I was just stating that earlier. Like, really? I'm going to listen to the podcast and be like, that's what I sound like?
That's the worst. It's the worst. Like, again, I ran a couple podcasts before, and you just listen to yourself and you're like, oh, that's what I sound like? And people are like, yeah, that's what you sound like. I'm like, I don't like it. I don't like it. I wish I had a deeper voice. I wish I had the Barry White type voice. And for you younger folks, Barry White was a 60s and 70s R&B.
Yes.
Kind of rolled into the 80s. Had the most baritone, beautiful voice of all time. So let's get into it. So I'm sorry, I digress. I see a lot of squirrels out there. I'd like you to introduce yourself, your full name, your hometown, and where you work.
I am Technical Sergeant Clarissa Scott. I am originally from San Antonio, Texas, so I'm home right now, which is awesome. And I work in the 37 Training Group, Military Training and Standardization Flight.
Military Standardization. Isn't that supposed to be just like military, though? We should all be standardized?
Yes, sir.
Oh, we're going to talk about standards then. So let me write a little quick note about that.
So let me write some notes.
Yeah, I'm going to write some notes to keep this conversation moving.
Yes, sir. So Staff Sergeant Kenneth Nixon. I am from Hertford, North Carolina. It's about 40 minutes from the Outer Banks, kind of give a perspective. And I work at the 344th Military Training Flight.
344 Military Training Flight, huh?
Yes, sir.
Is there any area in particular where which you work?
So I'm an out processing MTO currently. So
you're everybody's favorite person.
Everybody's favorite.
Everybody's favorite MTO is they get to leave training. That excitement. Sir. Remember that excitement? Ooh, I'm going to talk about that too. Go ahead, sir.
All right. I am Tech Sergeant Craig Irvin from Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm an MTO over at the 343 Security Forces Academy.
What is all your original AFSCs, your original Air Force specialty codes?
For me, aircraft structural maintenance. Most people know it's by sheet metal.
Sheet metal, but you're an ASM.
Indeed.
Do you have your ASM patch on right now?
Yes, sir.
You make me so happy with that. Maintenance.
Yes, sir.
What about you, sir?
I'm a firefighter, sir.
Fire dog, huh? Yes, sir. Fire dog turned MTL.
I know. It's crazy.
Exciting.
It's drastic.
Did you try to go to Goodfellow?
So my wife actually wanted to go to Goodfellow, but I didn't want to go back.
You don't want to go back out there?
I go there for all of our advanced courses are there. So I was like, I'd like to go somewhere different.
Try it out. Yes. Have you been stationed in San Antonio before?
No, sir.
All right.
And I am security forces by trade.
So we got the Defender.
Yes, sir. Defender.
I have a weird question. Do you live with your mother?
I do. Yes, sir.
Ah, that was inside baseball. We can edit that out. We can edit that. Well, Sergeant Scott, we got a chance to go TDY to Fairchild, my first base, and I was super emotional in all my feels. And Sergeant Scott, I got the privilege to watch her go out there and represent you as MTLs out there. It was absolutely phenomenal. So we talk about standards. Standards right now, I think, are really at the forefront. If you went out there and asked the public and you're watching Dave Letterman or one of those shows and people walking out there and interviewing, like we have mics in front of us right now, they would probably synonymously or equate military with standards. Mm-hmm. But we're struggling, I think, a little bit with standards right now. My perspective, I've been in I'm a little older, maybe, I'm a little bit more
back in my day.
Yeah, back in my day. But I do see some slippage of standards. How are you enforcing those standards as MTLs?
So I know with the military training and standardization flight, our job is to ensure that the MTLs have the tools to enforce those standards. So obviously we have AFI 36-2903. We also supplement that with our student guide that encompasses everything that the group, all the group standards that they want. So on top of the AFI standards that are already in place, it will add to that. And so that's how we kind of work to keep the airmen on the correct path. Because obviously we've had a lot of changes within like the last 2-3 years with the standards across the board. And so what we try to do is, hey, we know that things have changed, but there are still some things that we feel works really well in technical training and keeps you focused. And so we're going to implement that for you guys.
That's good. What about you? How do you make corrections?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty black and white, you know, if they read the, a student guide and it tells you everything you need to do to succeed. And if they're not doing those, then, we just approach them and be like, hey, you're out of regs or whatever the case. And typically you pull a 341 and then they'll be at remedial training. We'll discuss, you know, why you're here and all that stuff. And hopefully they learn from it. Some of them just don't, though.
Some don't, huh?
Some of them don't.
But a lot of them do.
Yeah. There's that few that it really hits home. They're like, man, that sucked. I did not want to be here again. So, yeah.
For me, I think I try to influence your outward impression on people and your reputation. Most times I think we don't go out into our day-to-day activities trying to misrepresent ourselves. So in those moments, I just remind people that your dress and appearance tells me everything I need to know about you today. Ooh. It lets me know that if your uniform is out of regs, there's nothing as far as responsibilities that I can give you that you'll be able to handle with care, because you couldn't even get dressed the correct way. And we've already addressed that. You know what the standard is from you graduating BMT. At this point, that is a conversation to have. And I do have a hot and a cold approach, if you will. If I'm talking to the masses, then I'll give them a stern conversation. But one-on-one, I have a softer approach just to say, hey, wingman, what's going on with you? And I try to tap into like their inward impression of themselves for that day as well. So I go with the flow, but I'm also mindful of the room whenever I am addressing those situations with airmen.
That was awesome.
Yes, sir.
So yesterday I got a chance to speak to the Air Education and Training Command for sergeants. They're out here for a professional development. And that was one of the topics, of course, the standards and how do you make corrections. And, you know, because I don't think it's necessarily ranked based. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that it's like, oh, he's a chief, he's going to make corrections. I was like, well, it's my duty to. Mm-hmm. It's your duty to as non-commissioned officers. But also, we all want the end state. Like, I think you hit the nail on both of you, all three of you actually hit the nail on the head. It's you're out there and we want the same end state. We want people to be able to follow simple instructions and the uniformity that is our military. You're going to have individualism, but your individualism comes from your work ethic, mm-hmm. how you speak, how you interact. And I always shake for me, 26 years later, it's still hard to make corrections at times. You know, you see them like, oh, I got to go make this correction. I usually just shake their hand and just look at them and say, hey, do you know this? This is going on. And they're like, oh, I didn't know. And I like it. Take it for what it's worth. You know, here's a standard which you deviated from. I don't want this whole podcast to be about standards, yes. though. I'm like, oh, this is a pain. Because everyone just turned us off. They're like, oh, that's it. Let's keep this thing moving. So you have a great job. You're in a developmental special duty. We'll start from this side. What do you love about your job?
The thing I love about my job the most is to see the growth in airmen from day one to that graduation date when they don that beret. It's like the light switch goes off and the chest is poking out a little bit more. The head is held a little bit higher because now they've accomplished that goal and they went from developing themselves to earn that right to be called defenders, but then they're right back into that growth aspect again once they're going operational. So I enjoy seeing those airmen as kind of inward, you know, maybe soft-spoken, but by the time they're graduating, they're raw. You can't keep them quiet. And you can see it that they're proud of themselves. And I enjoy that the most because I know somewhere along the line, Sergeant Irvin had a conversation with them, and I played a role in them developing themselves as young defenders in the Air Force.
I'll be in. Great answer. You're future chief. I can see it.
Yes, sir. So mine's kind of the same way. But I have the individualism. When when an airman comes to you after they graduate or when they're leaving, mm-hmm. and they look, "Sergeant, can I shake your hand? You know, you helped me out through thick and thin while you were here. I know you had to deal with a lot of stuff, but I just want to shake your hand." Or they'll write you a sticky note, you know, that says, you know, "Thank you for everything you did." And I have a bulletin board where I put those, because those hit home. And those is really what keeps me going and enjoying the job and being a line MTL, is those little individual things that the airmen do. It's really nice.
That's awesome. Yep. It's remotivation for you too. Absolutely. Right? Because a lot of times in your career, I mean, I've been in for 26 years, but you remember those, you remember the smaller things at times. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, you know, everybody has different love languages, but I love that somebody's, you know, takes the time, our young men and women out there who join our service, to take the time to recognize one of our outstanding NCOs and say, "Thank you." Yes. Just a simple thank you on a small piece of paper. Well, that's a great feeling, I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm along the lines of them also, when airmen reach back out to you or talk to you before they leave and, "Hey, thank you so much for all the help you gave me." I have airmen that email me with updates on like what's going on with their career, or if they have any questions or anything like that, because I always tell them, "Hey, please reach out if you do." Obviously, after the 6 months requirement from when they arrive at their first duty station. But I think the thing that motivates me the most is, one, helping obviously shape the airmen, provide them that strong foundation to build off of for the rest of their career. And then also things that I've learned as a group MTL is supporting not just those airmen, but also the MTLs within the career field. We have a very long and hard job, very stressful at times. And knowing that I can be there to help in any way I can, whether it's, you know, helping with making sure the standards are good across the board, or even just getting within the squadron, seeing what they need from us, or even just being out there and helping them, you know, holding airmen accountable, or just interacting with the airmen, letting them know that, hey, we are here to help you. Our job is to ensure that you have a safe space to, one, let us know if you have any issues, but then also like, "Hey, I am struggling in class. Like, do you have any ideas on how I can get better or whatnot?" Just making sure that they know that we're here to help them.
So you have a very distinct, and you actually made me think about this. It's hard to remember sometimes what it feels like when you first get off the bus in mm-hmm. basic training, when you leave MEPS to go to basic training, to get here in basic training, and then graduate basic training, and then go to tech school. But you all get to see the first day of the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of not rinse and repeat, but you get a chance to be a part of that excitement mm-hmm. of your very first base. Do you remember what that feels like?
I do a little bit. It wasn't too long ago. But just the nervousness also of like the unknown, like, oh, this is a big deal, like changing my entire life and conforming to the military or what the military envisions of an airman. That was definitely a huge gut check kind of. And you kind of get away from that as you move along in your career. And being here as an MTO, you remember that. And you're like, dang, I remember when I was that in that airman's exact position. And just it kind of humbles you. Like, hey, I remember those beginnings. I remember the struggle and the nervousness and just the fear of failure and all that. And so just that understanding, I think, gives us the ability to really get to those airmen's level and be like, hey, I understand what you're going through. All of us have been through that too. So we're here to help you with that process.
Yeah, absolutely. So. It's like, and that you can't, sometimes you got to step back mm-hmm. and truly like, okay, I was in that position and I remember this. So this airman's messing up a little bit. I did the same thing, you know? So how was I taught to handle through that, those moments? And yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
In the Defender world, I have an amazing working relationship with cadre and things. So my approach on things is I encourage them to step out and, you know, be that first airman to raise the hand. And I encourage them to fail. I say, hey, this is a safe place to fail, because one thing I know for sure is that whenever it is highlighted, the cadre is going to step out. And in that
experience, that expertise is going to show. And then you'll get that real time training in front of everyone. But I guarantee that's the first and the last time that you won't know that specific information. And you'll be the person teaching your wingman that maybe was afraid to step up. They'll come back. Hey, how did you do that again? Or what's this or what's that? And they're set and they're ready to go. And it pays dividends in the long run. So I encourage that, because it truly is an opportunity for you to step out and you start to build that confidence as well. So
you all, I take it everyone's re-enlisted?
Yes. Yes, sir.
All right. So everyone's re-enlisted. You're getting the first folks in, or their first accessions, their first enlistment type. What kept you coming back? Why'd you come back?
I came back. Well, for one, I love to travel. So that got me. I've been to places that I, at 17 when I signed the dots and left at 18, that I never thought in a million years I'd ever see or be at. So that's what definitely kept me going. And then I enjoyed fire. I enjoyed being a firefighter, and the people that I met throughout. I mean, I got some friends that will be lifelong forever. So yeah, that's the biggest motivation to stay and keep re-enlisting, and then so the steady, it's nice.
One of the reasons I'm still in is since I started the journey, through the folks I've met along the way, the mentors, looking at different leaders that I've had, I made a decision that I'm going to retire in the Air Force a long time ago. And I see myself retiring a chief, mission not accomplished yet. So I'm still here to get the goal knocked out.
Awesome.
The reason I've stayed, I'm actually pretty open with my story. And there was actually a point where I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know if the military is the right fit for me. I was kind of run down and just not feeling it anymore, to be completely honest. But my previous commander, before I got picked up to be an MTO, was amazing. He knew the struggles I was going through and was like, hey, I really think that you have more to offer the Air Force than you're experiencing now. I really think you should stay in, even if it's just one more reenlistment before they went along with the like 12-year reenlistment, and then you don't have to do it anymore. He's like, I really think you should reenlist one more time, and then if at that point you're still in the same space, and hey, maybe the military really isn't for you. And I was like, okay, well, I have no plan so right now, so let me reenlist. And from there, it kind of just took a 180. Ended up working as CSS, so helping my commander with programs, things like that. And he knew I wanted to be an MTO. He was like, hey, they have an AMS ad for it. So clicked the button, got picked up for it. And since I became an MTO, it's completely changed my mindset on the Air Force. It showed me kind of what I want to do when I grow up is take care of people. And this job absolutely prepares you to take care of people, because that's all you do, is you're there for the airmen, making sure they're taken care of, making sure anything they have going on, you're there to help them through it. And it's absolutely been the greatest job I've had in my career. So
you talk about mentoring. I'm sure you all have a mentor out there, mm-hmm. somebody, or maybe multiple. Hopefully, I'm hoping that you have multiple mentors in the service, out of service, mm-hmm. maybe sister services. There's mentors out there everywhere. What makes a good mentor?
That they're walking what they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
I can say,
Eagles reference there.
Yeah. I've had quite a few mentors. One retired senior master sergeant, Edner Francois. I called him the big guy. Every time I see him, big fella. He was definitely one of the inspirations. And coming here and meeting Senior Master Sergeant Rucker, it just lit a wildfire after that. When Senior Rucker is in the building, those guys are so inspirational. And those are the folks that just took me to a whole new level. So whenever I do have my tough days, I can see Senior Rucker out there grinding and working. And I'm like, oh, no, it's time to step up to another gear. So I definitely have several mentors, but those are the few that definitely are like night and day difference that inspire me to a whole new level.
That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So mine are like, my first assistant chief in fire. So the assistant chiefs operate the shifts, right? So you got A shift and B shift, and then you got the boss of those shifts. Chief de Guzman, he was a civilian, and he was, the guy was probably the smartest person I think I've ever met in my life. Air Force, life, it didn't matter. And I was like, if I could be like anybody, it'd be him. And I still to this day, you know, talk to him, reach out to him. And I haven't seen him in probably 6-7 years, and still can easily just send a text and be like, hey, sir, you know, I need help with this or whatever. But his big, jolly guy, just kind of like you said, he's happiest person I've ever met, smartest. It's like, to me, those are good mentors where they'll sit there, they'll listen to you, but then they also, like you said, walk the walk, talk the talk. They give you the advice that you need, whether it be the hard-hitting advice or the good advice.
Indeed.
Just they know what to say and how to say it, and they also live it.
Yeah, what makes a good mentor to me is what you guys were saying of giving that good advice, but also not telling you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Sometimes that's not always going to be something nice, you know, and sometimes you need that, you know, kick in the butt to be like, hey, you're not in the right space right now. You need to be here. And these are the steps you need to take to get here. Some mentors I've had, my mom, of course. I know you made a joke about me living at home.
No, that's which I love this story.
I pay no rent, so it's amazing.
Hey, that's a great story, though, too. I don't know if I can do it.
It gets rough sometimes, but my mom is definitely my greatest mentor. She was previously in the Air Force, medically retired after 23 years. So she knows how the Air Force is and can give me really good perspective, and just not even just in life, but also within the military. And one of my previous supervisors, Master Sergeant Smith, she was one of my former MTLs I worked with, and just pushed me to do more than what I thought I could do. For a time, I was content to kind of just do my job, do really good at my job, and that was it. But she was like, hey, no, you can go out in the community and do all these other things, stuff that you're interested in, and really push me to just be a better person and airman. And so, yeah, absolutely has inspired me to continue my route.
My kids tell me that someday. Dad, you inspired me. You're my mentor.
My mom knows I love her.
That's awesome. I hope she listens to this podcast and she's going to be in tears.
She's not going to listen.
What?
Not at all. I put on my Master MTL rope. I was like, hey, Mom, I got this, you know, the ceremony. She's like, yeah, I'm not making that. I was like, fair enough. Okay.
But still your mentor.
Yeah, still my mentor.
So we have one thing that came out, it's probably been out for 10, 12 years now, is the resiliency pillars. We talk about the four CAF pillars for comprehensive airman fitness. I still like that. I think that is a real good whole person approach to, you know, like to just kind of living a life. It's a good framework. I mean, you can add to it. It's not like these are the rules and that's it. But when you get off duty, what's inspiring you out there? Or what do you do? Maybe that's a different question, but when you get off of work, what do you do to recharge, to rejuvenate a little bit? What are the things you're out there doing?
I know for myself, I'm one of those weirdos you'll see sitting in their car for like an hour. And I think for me, that's my time to decompress. So like I'll come home and I'll sit in my car, read a book or something, or listen to a podcast. And that might be because I have a lot of brothers and sisters, so my house is kind of loud all the time. And so I just need time to relax, get my frame of mind out of work and into that family mode. And kind of put stuff away, especially as an MTO, because you hear all manner of situations and things that airmen are going through. Yep. And that can start to weigh heavy on you at times. And so taking that time to decompress is amazing. And then I also read a lot. That's one of the things that I use. I love to read. So,
yeah. So family for me, my kids and my wife, it's I wouldn't say it's a decompression state, because as soon as I get home, I'm in dad mode. So I go from work dad to home dad, it feels like. So, but definitely my kids and wife keep me keep me sane and keep me on a level playing field. But I also, when I go home, I don't have the radio on or nothing. I'm driving home. It's a 25-minute drive and just silence of just me and my thoughts, I guess.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it. When I come to work, I'm blasting music. When I'm coming from work, I got the music off. So it's
kind of power down mode a little bit exactly. Before you ramp back up.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
But then vacations. I love taking vacations. I like to, I feel like in the MTL world, if you don't put your phone to the side, like as soon as you walk in the door, you'll still be working because you have the group chat. Something's always going on. The updating the other MTLs of what's going on and everything. If you don't set your phone down, you're still working. So you have to just take that time and set it out for your family and just don't even look at it.
Do not disturb.
Yeah, do not disturb. My do not disturb goes on at 7 o'clock at night. So
absolutely.
For me, what resets me is family. We have twin girls. Right now, our oldest is out of the house. So having that family time and creating those memories and just enjoying each other's companies, that's what keeps me going. And I also try to be an example for the kids too, to see like, hey, you know that dad has a, you know, busy schedule all the time, but dad will always, and I mean always, make time to spend time with you and create memories together. So that's what keeps me going. And I'm here for it.
Man, you guys are way. I'd be like, I jump on a motorcycle or I go scuba diving. You're like, family. I love my family though too. So those
listeners, if you're listening to this, yeah.
All five of those kids, I love them. Love them. Great, great kids. Great kids.
Yeah.
So some of you mentioned reading. What's a book or a movie that comes to mind right now when it comes to inspiration or something that's like, oh, it's great.
I just finished the 21 Laws of Leadership. Definitely insightful. Kind of hit some things that I'm already tapped into, but also kind of shed light on things that I may have overlooked. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'm doing this thing right. And it's like offered a different perspective. So, yeah, there's areas of improvement for sure. For sure. So enjoyed that book.
Yep. So I don't read much. My time is... like it's so busy to even really pick up a book, but I will say a movie that inspires to Fury. I don't know if you've seen Fury.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like that's the way that they uphold themselves in that movie at the end is just, you know, it's all one team, one fight at that moment. So if I had something to relate to book wise, it would be that movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm more of a fiction reader, so like leadership books and things like that. I know as you move along in the rank that you should start tapping into stuff like that. I haven't quite made it there yet, but I do listen to a lot of podcasts and things like that on my hour-long drive in the mornings to and from work. So that and then TED Talks, I listen to that because I like learning a little bit of everything. And TED Talks, as you know, everybody – is different and has a different topic that they're discussing. So I like to listen to those a lot. So
those are, I like mindless fiction.
I really love mindless fiction.
That's
something
that
shut my brain off.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. Yes, that I that's how I fall asleep. Mm-hmm. I have my Kindle and almost chips in my teeth when it hits me in the face because I'm falling asleep.
Best friend, sir. I do the exact same thing. I always read before I go to sleep.
I read a lot of books, but like I'll tell you that mindless fiction, it just sets me in a different atmosphere, those thrillers or mysteries or even like I just read Frankenstein for the first time in a long time. A classic. Mm-hmm. Great, great writing all the way through. So those are different things that I think that we all can kind of get down and get behind. Mm-hmm. Only one movie though, huh? No other movies? What's your go-to movie?
I will say I saw Dune 2 in theater
it was
twice,
good.
And it was outstanding. And I'll probably go see it a third time.
That good.
It was amazing.
You saw it as well?
I haven't seen it. I've heard the same thing she just said.
The first one was good, so it kind of left you hanging a little bit.
Yeah, the first one was kind of setting the stage for everything else. And the second one is where we kind of get into the meat and potatoes a little bit. And
yeah,
it was outstanding. I went twice, so in like a three-day span.
Oh, yeah. It's that good.
Yeah. So I took my sister with the first time and she wasn't even like really about it. She's like, okay. And then she was the one that was like, can we go see it again? I was like, let's go. So now she's all about it too. So.
Man, you got deep pockets because movies are so expensive now. She lives with her mom. Oh, that's what it is.
I don't pay rent. So, you know, but yeah, I took my sister to the movies twice. So it is very expensive. So.
Yeah, it's crazy expensive now.
Yeah.
What about you?
Not so much movie buff. That's the wife. She's the person that reels me in with movies. If you ask me, I'll watch Life on repeat every single day of the week.
Life. Old school Life?
Old school life. Yes.
You're talking about the Eddie Murphy Life?
Yes, sir. Life. That is the go-to movie. I'll watch it every day of the week if I had to. But yeah, she's the person that kind of changes the different movies and things like that, and she's a thespian, so she's tapped into those things. So yeah, I'm just there for the ride. I'm just a good supporter in that moment.
What about when you go out to your next base? You can't wear the rope forever. You need the developmental special duty. It's part of it. You do it, you learn, you gain insight, you become a stronger person, a stronger NCO, hopefully, and then you go back out into the system. If you could send that law of attraction out there into the world, what is the next base you'd want to go to?
Well, I already know what my next base is.
Ooh.
So my MMAP came out and I'm heading to Laughlin Air Force Base.
Okay, right up the road.
So right up the road, 2.5 hours away from here. So still close to home, still close to my mom.
That's Del Rio, right?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. Right on the border. And somewhat of a smaller mission set that they have there, a smaller security forces squadron out there. But one of the things I want to bring back that I find after my years that I've been in is taking care of the people. Security forces, still great career field and all that, but we do have some culture things where, hey, like when we talk about mental health and things like that, and, you know, people have heard like, oh, it's frowned upon to seek help if I need it, or they're going to take my gun or whatever the case may be. As someone that's actually experienced things like that and, you know, had supportive leadership, I want to be that for other airmen. So they know, hey, it's okay to take a knee if you need to. Like that is, it's inevitable a lot of times. Like there's going to be things that happen in your life that you cannot control and that are going to throw you for a loop. And if you need to take a knee, you need to take a knee. And we're here for you. We have your back. We're going to take care of you and make sure that you can operate to the best of your ability. And so that's what I want to bring back to my career field and just have my airmen know that I'm there for them and that I have their back.
I know. So my base I would love to go to is I want to go back to Japan.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
Love Japan with all my heart. Like I feel like I was meant to be born there. I was in right before I became an MTL. I was at Kadena for 4 years. And it was the best 4 years my wife and I feel like we ever had. But we didn't get – it was during COVID times too. So we weren't able to truly enjoy what we know we could have enjoyed. So we want to go back. And we actually want to retire there because when I take the rope off, I have 2 years left. So I'm hoping that maybe I could figure out how to swing back to Japan and retire and just live there for the rest of our lives.
I was emailing back and forth today with Ken Wobbsey.
Oh, yeah?
Back and forth all day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he's out in Dove right now. He just sent me his retirement invitation. So shout out to Ken Wobbsey.
One of my favorite listening. Chiefs.
Yeah. What an amazing and an okay golfer.
Okay. Yeah, he's just okay, Chief.
He's just okay. But I was obviously we were at Kadena together. Mm-hmm. And what a... This weekend, I don't know why it hit the whole family. My daughter, my wife, we were just, man, we really missed that culture.
And
even because we were there for COVID as well. I was there from 18 to 22 and I loved it so much. And, you know, even during COVID, you know, I could still rent tanks and go dive.
Absolutely.
You know, they didn't shut down the golf course for a while, you know, for very long. So.
Well, it's because Chief Wobbsey was
there. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. There it is. So Ken Wobbsey. So that's awesome. So you go back there, you want to try Yokota or Misawa?
We would do Yokota for sure. I think Tokyo is probably my favorite city I've ever visited in the whole world.
More than Osaka? You been to Kyoto?
I've been to all those.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
I think Tokyo is just... I went with the boys and I went with the family. Okay. And both times obviously different paths of enjoyment, but both times it was just great. You know,
it is.
It has something for everybody.
It sure does.
So I think my wife, she would go back. She'd go to Yokota, but I feel like we got unfinished business in Kadena. So
Me too.
Yeah. For me, it would be going back to Aviano.
Oh, of course. There's your big Trump card right there. Yeah, it's like Aviano. Yeah. Have you guys heard of Italy?
Yeah. We were stationed there before coming here to take on the roles for MTL. Same thing, COVID. We were there from 18 to 22. And we just felt like a decent portion of our time was taken away by COVID. So we'd like to go back and enjoy a little bit more of Aviano. So that would be the location I like to go.
Oh,
see, y'all still have options. I'm like, I already have a baby.
Oh, it's what you got plenty. You still have options.
I would love to go back to, though, would be Lodges Field, Portugal.
That's what you Portugal. Said. Yeah. I like Lodges as well.
It was my favorite place. Probably.
But it's not a whole base anymore, right? It's like kind of a small base.
It's now. A small base. The base is still large, but it's a smaller population now. Yeah. There's not as many military personnel out there because it's mostly run by Portuguese contractors. Mm-hmm. But it's the only base that I know of that's in FBCon Alpha because they don't really have too much crime there. It's a really small island. Everyone knows everyone.
Kind of hard to get off that island.
It is. It's a little bit.
It's rocky out there.
It's rocky and the weather, and you feel like you're going to crash into the ocean, but absolutely loved it out there. I lived on the beach for 13 months, so you can't really beat that.
You cannot.
Yeah, it was amazing. I would definitely go back there.
That's one of my favorite places as well.
The planes break down out there a lot.
Those were air quotes. You guys, no one saw that, but they're air quotes. I'm not going to lie. I broke down there before.
Yes, sir.
But it was a legit break.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah.
That was me winking too. Just kidding. Would never do that.
Yeah.
All right. So let's wrap this thing up. So parting shots, parting thoughts. And the question would be this. Someday you'll be in my position. What is a piece of advice you'd like to give me? What can I do better as a command chief?
Well, I think you do an excellent job, sir.
I have to agree, Chief. I don't think she's showboating on that. I think you're one of the command chiefs that I've had in my 16 years that I know you by name. You're so for the people. When we have our MTL all calls with you and Colonel Cashane, you're just present. You're always listening. You're taking notes. You're trying to figure out how to make the special duty better. How to make everything just better. So to be honest, sir, I'm with Sergeant Scott. I think you do a great job.
Oh, thank you, guys. I'm all emotional now. I'm all feels. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'd have to agree as well, Chief. For the Tech Sergeant Release Party last year, we worked alongside you, and that was a smooth transition. You communicate extremely well. The vision is easy to see, easy to for us to take that information and make things happen. And then on the back end, being a man of your word, and then giving letters of appreciation to all the folks that made that Tech Sergeant Release Party happen. Nothing short of a amazing experience. So definitely I have to agree with them as well. So
I would say not something that you don't do. This is actually something you actually do, and being accessible, feeling like we can access you if we really need to talk about something. You're very adamant about, hey, like when we have our MTL all call, hey, here's my government cell phone number. If you guys have any questions at any time or need to talk to me about something, go ahead and hit me up. And I've used that a couple times because I'm like, I know this sounds dumb, but hey, sir, it's Tech Sergeant Scott. Like,
that's my personal number, by the way.
Oh, is it? Oh,
that is my personal number.
I did not know that.
No, I did. Like, so anybody in the wing, that's why I was like, hey, my mom text me on that too, so let's not ruin that number. Don't
no, no, no. Just don't send me hate mail out there like that.
No,
sir.
But I appreciate that. Like, yes, even sir. Today, when you're asking me a question,
yes, sir.
I like that. Does so that's pretty greedy of me, to be honest with you, because I enjoy this. Mm-hmm. Like, this, my connection to our wing and to our people starts with these conversations, starts with getting to know one another. Mm-hmm. And I always ask that thing. I was like, if I can be any one thing off the bat, it'd be approachable. I just want to be approachable. And it's not always going to, like, there's going to be a correction I'm going to make that somebody's going to be like, oh, he just likes pancake breakfasts and making corrections. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I love pancakes and I don't love making corrections. I don't think anybody really does, but it must be dumb. Mm-hmm. But with these conversations and the ability to serve here in the Warhawk wing, the 37 training wing, it's awesome. So I thank you for being here. And with that, we'll sign off.
Well, thank you for having us, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Cheers. Teammates, thank you for tuning in. For any topics, questions, or guest requests, please shoot me an email or leave a comment below. Thanks for tuning in. As a reminder to all listeners, all topics discussed are unclassified, and the views expressed by our guests and hosts are not necessarily the position of the United States Air Force, the Department of Defense, or any government agency.